Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is the word of the Lord. Say to your brothers, "You are my people," and to your sisters, "You have received mercy." Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst.
Well, here we are again. We're back to Hosea. And I can tell you right now what a difficult passage we have before us, leading in the impending truth to bring us to now, calling to his family. Please bear with me. So, rightfully so, let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have sent these prophets into this world to point to the people of Israel, who was whoring and an adulterous nation, who turned their backs against you. But Father, more clearly, show us this morning. Show us this morning of a people who are not your people, who have called to be the children of the living God. Let us see from a different perspective, a different angle about this family you have called here today, Lord, that in this calling you've brought us to yourself, that now we as a family go and proclaim this calling through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. By the time we reach adulthood, we have accumulated enough history in our lives to know how it has shaped and molded us to be who we are today. It is these events that took place around us, good and bad, that allow us to either see where we could have improved or encouraged to carry on in order to progress. However, there are certain memories we can remember more than others. But the memories we remember the most, more than any other time, is our childhood memories. So, what are our fondest moments in our lives? What do we remember the most about our childhood that gives us a sense of belonging? Family. Yes, family. But why? A family gives us stability, love, comfort, security, encouragement, and enables us to know our likes and dislikes. But one thing we can all agree on about a great family memory is discipline and boundaries. Now, I know what you're thinking. Think about it for a second. Do you remember when your father raised his voice? Or do you remember when mum came running after you when she told you specifically not to do something and out comes the wooden spoon? What about when you broke that wooden spoon on your backside that was attached to mum's hand? We all remember those moments, don't we? Whether good times or bad times, we remember a lot about our childhood. And when possible, share this with them whenever we catch up to reminisce. The accounts that took place can sometimes be remembered down to the smallest detail and always corrected by those who knew it better. But the best thing about family is when they stick up for each other. Like when it comes to your brother or sister being bullied at school, you can usually count on your older brother or sister to help you out. It is in these defining moments that we see our family in action. For what greater sense of belonging is there when a family fights for them? You could go as far as to say a family bleeds for one another. When a family member hurts, they all hurt. When a family member succeeds, they rejoice together. When an unfortunate set of circumstances allows for a family member to go astray, we call for him and plead that they return. A family may not be loving towards one another all the time, but they do care. They do care enough to see them not get hurt. So no matter how many years passed in our family, there was always a beautiful underlining truth Being part of a family meant being part of something bigger than ourselves, even though we may have felt left out at times. And this is where we begin to see our text, our call to family. So please, if you've got your Bibles with me, we're starting at chapter 2, verse 1, the book of Hosea. So Hosea, God is calling his family to unite. Say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters, you have received mercy. Hosea is very specific here. God is initiating the call to family. The very ones in whom God rescued from the great oppression and bondage of slavery to Egypt. The God who fed them manna and gave them water to drink from a rock whilst in the wilderness. The ones in whom he brought into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. The same family that God continued to show his mercy and loving kindness amidst their sinful nature. His blessings that gave them great comfort to know that he would establish them for himself, even though they were surrounded with such great enemies, giant fortified cities, giant people, and even giant nations in whom trusted in their own strength. The same God who sent prophet after prophet to speak to the wicked generations who turned their backs on and would not listen. These generations that were led by kings who would rather serve other gods and lead the people astray. It is the God in whom we trust ourselves that delivered us from death and sin, the sermon my brother preached on so well last week, to have the assurance that Jesus Christ is our warrior who fights for us. He even bled for us that we may be a part of this unique family that is only able to be saved by the Spirit of God, who enables us to be regenerated by the will of the Father. This is the greatest family that will exist for all eternity, that we would have the privilege to be called the children of the living God. So, it is God who initiates the call to his people, in whom he has given mercy. They are the ones who have not forsaken the Lord by way of whoredom. And this is for two main reasons. The first one, to understand the divine call to family, the children of the living God. And two, to encourage, build up, and remind one another of their heritage and place amongst the ones who have received mercy. But not only is God's mercy upon the Israel of Hosea's day, it is also a call to the spiritual Israel, made up of Jews and Gentiles without distinction, who will call one another brothers and sisters. A call beyond the days of Hosea, which speaks of a Christological and apocalyptic time, a time beyond Hosea, which points to Jesus Christ, and also a time that speaks of his glorious return. This is identified by the two previous verses that outlines the beginning of chapter 2, the end of chapter 1 that points to the hope that proceeds after the punishment Israel receive because of their whoredom. So let's go back. I want you to come back with me to chapter 1, where we will see clearly where this is pointing us towards. So Hosea 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. Israel is both small in number and accounted for in the current days of Hosea. So we see that this is pointing to a time to come, a time that was also promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A time that the family of God that would be initiated as few would now be numbered beyond our comprehension, the sand of the sea, to be specific. Yet it is also a time that was a promise made to the forefathers that would allow God to fulfill all that he said he would do. This inclusion was specific to a point outside of the borders of Israel, As we go back to the text, we will see. So part B of verse 10. And in the place where it said to them, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Children of the living God." I hope you got that. In the place that it was said to them, so outside of the borders, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Children of the living God." The children of promise, a promise to the family of God outside the borders of Israel, not yet fulfilled in Hosea's day, but a time beyond. The Apostle Paul also speaks of the exact same promise and uses Hosea to elaborate, to mark the fulfillment of the promise fulfilled by Jesus Christ. So I want to unpack this for you. So let's go now to Romans 9, verse 24. It gives us more clarity. "Even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As indeed," he says in Hosea, "those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called sons of the living God." Isn't it beautiful when Scripture highlights Scripture to give us the understanding of what he's saying? This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Hosea, and indeed another inclusion of the extended spiritual Israel. A glorious gift of salvation that has been extended beyond the times of Hosea, that points to our Messiah, in whom fulfilled the prophecies of old. It is a spiritual Israel united and joined together to be unified and scattered abroad and implanted upon all nations, as we see in the next verse of Hosea. So we're still in chapter 1, verse 11. "And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head. And they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." The future of an undivided family. A family not ruled by earthly kings who led their kingdoms to evil and sin, but a perfect king, King Jesus Christ, whom the people have longed for. A people who will depart from their land and establish themselves with the Gentile nations, that the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed by the Spirit that now resides in us all. This day, a future time, a time that Jesus Christ inaugurated, is a time of great salvation. A day that the family of God would be united as one, and ruled by one head over them all, Jesus Christ. A time when those who are not family shall be called the family of God. I hope we're getting a clearer picture here. But in this, Peter also affirms the same promise of Hosea, but as the result of salvation's extension to the Gentile nation. So please, turn with me to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." How beautiful is our God? Again, we clearly see that God has called, chosen for himself, a people in whom were not within the borders of Israel, that they have received mercy to be his royal and holy family. But it is a family who will proclaim the regenerating and spiritual rebirth from darkness, sin, and into his marvelous light, salvation. We see both the current situation of the time of Hosea, but also the undeniable call to the saints of Jesus Christ today. Now that we have established the call for family, let us now unpack and discover what God is preparing his family for. What is this all for? That Hosea is gathering the nation before him. So let us go back to Hosea chapter 2. Now we're in verse 2. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Israel's own pleasures and desires have given birth to sin, promiscuity, and if not put in check, will destroy her to the point of death. The dual use of plead emphasizes the gravity of the depraved state of sin upon the nation of Israel. So, the family of God are called not just to warn Israel, but in the pain that they have caused God, he tells us to plead, to beg, and to request Israel to repent, that they may not be torn away from the family of God. The plea is to place into action the function of the children's names in the first chapter that we read last time. No mercy and not my people. That the family of God would be the mediators by which God would use. But it is the people who have broken and severed the intimate relationship, and it is God who wants to restore it. The separation of the husband to his wife, however, seems to be bound. If she does not repent, God will strip Israel of all her pleasures and desires. The pleasures and desires she flaunts around for all to see. And as a result, he will put her to shame, as in a dry wasteland where she will thirst. And if we look closely at these verses, we see another parallel for our own time in the days of the people of Hosea. A time that points us to the sinful and adulterous people that we are in the midst of right now. The world who is consumed of everything else except our God. As the Gospel of Mark identifies for us in chapter 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful nation, generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels. We see two particular points that supports the call for Hosea for us today. The first one is the generation of our time. Jesus puts it plainly. It's an adulterous and sinful generation, according to Jesus Christ. And the second point is, we who are the family of Jesus Christ are to share with them by the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the opposite to the outcome described in Mark. So what does this sinful and adulterous generation look like today? To unpack this, we turn to the book of James, who identifies the root cause and what we also touched on in our last sermon together. So please, let us now turn to James 4. Verse 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The people today are at war with their own passions. Their own desires are what drives them to fulfill their own gain. They are as good as the rest of the world by their consuming desire to accumulate for themselves, and even at the cost of others. This brings judgment upon themselves by now being an enemy of God. But the world will tell you the most important person in this world is you. But all that really does is sets you up for disappointment. So now we know the root cause of our current adulterous world. We now see the urgency that is upon us to proclaim the love of God for this fallen generation. We who are the promised family now know that our call is to the rest of the family that awaits us to proclaim all that is within our capabilities to plead, request, beg of these idolatrous people and show them the selfless acts of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has done for you now and what he will continue to do until the fulfillment of time. So, Providence, we plead, we beg, we request with this sinful and adulterous generation by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has called us to his family, that as his family, if we truly love the Lord our God, we would show this people of the impending judgment that awaits them for their sinful nature and proclaim the saving grace with which we also received that brought us to be called into the family of God. Are we not preparing a food van to use as an instrument to do the very thing we wish to plead to into the communities of Mandra? That's our intention. That's our heart. So we do not shrink back, nor are we to withhold the very gospel that was spoken into our lives for the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We proclaim it. For if we do not for any reason, we are withholding that which we also received with grace and mercy. Or do we truly know the mercy of which God has showered upon us to be a part of the family of God? Are we able to walk worthy of the calling upon our lives as we ourselves were called into this family? So here is the first application. We're joined by God to be a family. But how? We are to be a family that unites, bonds, and affirms with one another the love of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ towards one another. We unite as a body that was once foreign and a sojourner towards the former Israel, knowing that we have now been adopted into the family of God, and which gives us a sense of belonging. For it was by blood that enslaved the Israel of old, and now by the promise that now sets us free. So what better way to show you this than through the Apostle Paul to the letter to the Galatians. So Galatians 4 verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. We have been born through the promise, and being children of the promise, we continue to exhort, build up, and remind one another that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. The bigger picture of God's plan that brings us together as family, a heritage and place amongst the ones that have received mercy, never neglecting to meet and bond together as the family of God, so that we are strengthened for our next application. We are to be a family in action, a family that bleeds for one another to plead our case and contend with this adulterous, sinful generation of our world today. We are to affirm that which brought us to salvation by pointing out the end result of judgment and death upon an unrepentant people. If not by our words, that speaks clearly out of love and obedience towards a generation that is sick, then we know the impending judgment. God, who will by no means hold back what is deserving of all unrepentant sinners. I hope you feel the weight. But if we are not doing this already, then what about our family members, our relatives, our friends, loved ones, and neighbors we pray for all the time? Are we praying for their salvation, but never actually proclaiming the gospel to them at all? Not even a hint of a reminder of what we are pleading to tell them by the urgency placed upon our hearts. For it says in Romans 1 verse 16 to 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So, we are a family that fights for the salvation of those whom are within this sinful and adulterous world and pleads for the fallen to return. Never actually giving up and upholding them in our prayers. It's always a combination of both. Which leads us to our third application. We are to be disciplined ourselves within this sinful, adulterous generation. We adhere to the boundaries of gentleness and respect that those who are keeping a close eye on us can see the imagery of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. That those who are keeping a close eye on us can see Jesus Christ, but all the while adhering to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your attitude be to care enough for their salvation. Who do people say that you are? Are we bold enough to be known by friends, family, and neighbors as Christians? This is a beautiful description of family. A family not of flesh and blood, but a family united together by our Heavenly Father Himself. As Jesus Himself said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 48 to 50. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So now we have established the will of the Father for the work of Jesus Christ, in whom we now imitate, in which I now conclude with the two living testimonies that point us to what it means for family to bleed for one another. Hosea lived as a prophet of God, but also as a living example of the spiritual adulteries that was being committed within the kingdom of Israel. His life was not separate from his calling, do you see? His life is entirely his calling. In his life, he experiences what God is experiencing by the marriage to Gomer. He was called into this family to be a part of the calling for his bride. Likewise, and always the foreshadow towards a better husband, Jesus Christ, died for the ones in whom the Father gave to him, in order that they may receive life and life more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the promise pronounced by the prophets of old, so that the God of one nation would be the God of all nations. By the extended mercy of God to include the Gentiles, that the sickness of sin and adultery would be set free from the modern bondages that sets this world apart from God. For John explains Jesus Christ more clearly for us. So in John chapter 6, verse 6, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." There is our hope providence. Jesus Christ inaugurated this. He established this. He fulfilled this for all time, that we now carry on, which was Jesus Christ, in whom the Father's will that he did, that we now be joined to the family of God by proclaiming exactly what he came for. A call for family. A family's call. So let me pray. Oh, heavenly gracious Father, we thank you for the great depth that by your servant Hosea, not only were you speaking of a time of Israel that was sinful and turned themselves around for you, Lord, turned them their backs away from you, Lord, that in Hosea's living life to call to a people to bring them back, Lord, you are also speaking of a time of today, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, but also awaiting your victorious and glorious return. But for now, Lord, we concentrate on the work, on your will that is before us, but never overstepping the boundaries, always being concerned, O Lord, and honoring you as holy, but honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.